Welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have with me Lentil. He is part of the music scene. Can you please tell us what exactly you do and how long you've been doing it for?
Sure. I like to refer to myself as entertainer. A lot of people, you know, look at just the small picture. I guess I am a rapper, but I also partake in rock music as well. And I've been doing it well. That's a tricky question because I did it for 10 years, and then I stopped for 10 years, and then I've been back in it for another 5.
And so what got you into rapping?
When I was a teenager, I was hit hard by the rap metal scene or the new metal scene, bands like Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, and then eventually Hollywood Undead.
So these were just influences, people you'd listen to, and then you somehow got the idea to start your own rap?
At first, I was in a metal band. I actually played lead guitar. I did that for maybe 5 years. When the band broke up, I decided to do rap metal. I went into a studio. I laid all my own instruments down. I did guitar, drums, and bass. And then I laid vocals down on top of that.
So you started off just by being in that band. How did you learn how to sing vocals and do songwriting, rapping, or lyrics writing?
Music ran in my family. My grandmother was in a country group, and I have a great uncle in a funk band that is still active today. They get hired to play weddings and stuff locally. And I just grew up in the music.
So you were immersed in the music scene, and it was just natural for you to pick up music?
Yeah, and everybody in my family listened to different kinds of music. My parents listened to rock and roll. My grandmother listened to country music. And my aunt, who babysat me when I was really little, was listening to stuff like NWA when I was like 5 years old, which I probably shouldn't have been around, but I was.
Can you tell me how you started writing rap songs, or just walk me through your process? Maybe bring up the first time you wrote a rap song.
First time I started writing lyrics in general, I started writing rock music. And what I did was, I remember specifically, I took an Aerosmith song and I wrote the lyrics down and I just changed them. I rewrote them to fit me better. Mm-hmm. And I think I ended up doing the same thing with rap or rap rock. I took someone else's lyrics and I changed them. And I kept doing that until eventually I was just writing my own stuff.
I love that. And so when you write lyrics for rap, do you pay attention to rhythm and meter, cadences? How do you go about implementing all that into your rap music, but then still focusing on the message behind it?
When I go to write my own lyrics, the first thing that I listen for, like when I'm looking for a beat or something like that, is the chorus. And what does the chorus sound like? I'm pretty good at writing a catchy chorus. So if I hear a beat with a catchy chorus, and normally I think of lyrics through a chorus pretty quickly. If I get that in my head quickly, I write that down and then I build around that catchy chorus.
Yes. So how do you find your catchy choruses, or what do you draw your inspiration? How do you attain your inspiration and turn that into a song?
I don't even know how to tell you. It's just natural. I write really quickly. I've done an album in a day. I have a studio where I live. I hear a beat and I just start writing. Hey.
Yeah, I love that. So is you get your inspiration from the music first and then the lyrics, and I guess the vocals just flow along?
Sometimes, every now and again, the opposite happens, and I'll start writing in my head without a beat. But I guess normally, yeah, it comes from the music first, but it can happen either way.
And so you write rap. What are some of the songs that you've written in the past, and what have they been about?
Oh boy, I have dozens of albums on streaming platforms. My latest album is called Hip Hop, which isn't rap metal. I wanted to do something kind of old school, like 80s, 90s rap, something to celebrate original and old school hip hop. So I literally took this idea for an album and made an entire old school hip hop sounding album to try to celebrate that old school sound.
Yes, I love how you draw from the past and just try and incorporate elements that you've heard in other songs and then add them to your own music. Yeah. How would you define yourself as an artist? Would you say that you're a pretty experimental artist, that you like to delve into different genres, considering that your friends, family all listen to music from these different genres?
Yeah, experimental's a great word. I was thinking versatile or diverse, but that also, it's the same thing.
Yeah. And then how does listening to all types of music, all genres, how does that impact the rapping that you create? Do you find that it gives it a unique quality, or it differentiates yourself from what you hear on other tracks?
Is it unique? I guess in a way, I don't know a lot of people that make different kinds of hip hop. At the same time, I do want to mention that I think it's something that holds me back. It's really hard for me to get booked on shows. People hear my rap rock music and they don't want to book me on a rap show because they hear the rock music. And then people hear my rap music and they don't want to book me on a rock show because I'm rapping. So I do have a core fan base that appreciates everything I do. But then there are new listeners that hear one thing and they're turned off by it, so they don't want to listen further to find something that they do like that I do.
Yes. And then you say that you've been doing a lot of performing. How is performing? Are you ever nervous for it? What do you do to cope with anxiety if you are nervous? Or are you just someone who loves being on stage, loves just being the center of attention?
I'm like a different person when I'm on stage. Mm-hmm. I am very quiet and shy and reserved when I'm not on the stage.
Yes.
And then for whatever reason, as soon as I can get on the stage, it's like a switch flips and I become somebody else and I'm running around like a madman. I don't do many shows these days. Mm-hmm. I might have one in July that I don't want to mention yet because it's not set in stone. Mm-hmm. I usually get booked on rock shows. I don't normally get booked on rap shows, but the bands that I normally play with seem to like what I'm doing. They think it's cool because it's different. I appreciate that.
And you've been doing this for quite a while, as I can tell just by learning about music when you were younger. Would you say that music is something you do on a daily basis? Do you ever go, I don't know if you use a keyboard, or do you do any music production?
I do make my own beats every now and again. When I'm looking for like my rap rock beats, that's a lot harder to do. I have done a few, but I actually met a guy in Portugal online. I haven't been to Portugal, but he liked my music, and he and I work together sometimes when he wants to help me out with my rap rock.
I love that. Just using the internet and collaborating, you know, internationally, it's wonderful to see that somebody, even if they're not in the same country, same state, same place, whatever, you can still have something in common and be able to create music together. Would you say that online collaborations have worked well for you, or is there an added layer of complexity when it comes to the recording process? Because obviously the two of you can't be in the studio at the same time or at the same place, like location physically.
It's definitely helped me. I don't know if it's helped him, but no, since I started collaborating with artists online, my numbers have gone way up on my streaming services, so it's definitely helped me.
Yes. And what would you suggest for other artists out there who want to get more streams on their songs, or who just want to get more traction with their music?
All right, so what I did, what I found, and I just found this out recently, it's not something that everybody can do, but a friend of mine told me about the artist called Chris Webby. I knew who Chris Webby was. He's a rapper, or an underground rapper. But what Chris Webby did, I didn't know about, which was when he had an album he would set every single song on that album up as a single. So if he had a 10-track album, he would push it out to come out in 10 weeks, and every song would come out until the entire album was out. I started doing that. I'm putting every single song on an album out as a single. And when you have, for whatever reason, like the algorithm kicks in better. When you have a song come out every single week, your numbers just keep going up.
Yes.
And I know some people can't record to have a song come out every single week, or they don't have the money to go to the studio, or they don't know how to mix the master themselves. I know it's not easy. I'm lucky and I've been blessed that I can do this where I live. But what worked for me was releasing something every single Friday. And I have songs set up every single Friday from now until 2026. Every week I've got something coming out, and my numbers just keep going up already. So that's what worked for me.
Yeah, I love that. It's just that continuous posting, releasing your songs. Do you do anything in terms of social media to help get attraction for your music?
I promote on Instagram a little. I am horrible at my content game. I will not lie about that.
Yes.
If I can find a social media manager or something like that, that's what I would prefer, because I'm just bad at content creation.
Yes. So you do mostly the coming out weekly with a new song. And do you ever go back and see what songs are performing better and then try and add elements of those songs, tids and bits that you find that your audience is inclined, like they're enjoying, and then include those in the next songs that you're creating?
I probably should, but no, I don't. I'm always trying to reinvent myself. So I'll do like a pop rap album, and then I'll do a country rap album, and then I'll do a metal rap album, because I'm doing it for me.
Yes.
And I like everything. So I'm trying to release something that sounds like everything every so often.
Yes. No, I love, even though you're experimenting in different genres and you're just letting yourself do whatever you enjoy doing in the music that you love, in a way that also attracts more, a larger audience. Because if you do a rap country song and then you also do a rap rock song, then you're bringing in an audience from both country and rock. So that's an amazing plan or an idea. And I think that some musicians, they feel as though they just have to keep themselves in this box, where if they define themselves as an EDM artist or an alternative pop artist, they can only write music that's in that genre. And it's just nice to see how much crossover there is these days. What advice would you give to musicians who are in that confined space?
Don't be afraid to try something new. That's pretty much it. If you want to try something new, to branch out and do it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't.
Yes. And so when you go about releasing your songs, do you ever get feedback and advice from others? Maybe it's your family, your friends, before you released it? Or how do you know when your song is ready to be released?
The song is clean, as in not many curses. I usually reach out to my children to listen to it because they're younger than me, so they know more about what people are listening to in schools than I do.
No, I love that. Just getting advice from a younger generation, a younger audience. Is your music more for a younger audience, or is it for an older audience, or is it for anyone? Do you have a target age demographic?
Like, my daughter's in middle school, and she tells me that I have fans in her class. But when I literally look at the numbers, because Spotify for Artists and App for Artists tells you the numbers, it tells me my biggest fan base is 24 to 64-year-olds. So
wow, that's a huge range.
I think it's something like that. But yeah, I guess my biggest fan base isn't younger. It's more closer to middle age.
No. Yeah, I love that. Do you find that, were you ever anticipating that your songs would resonate with an older audience, or were you hoping to target a younger audience?
I think it makes more sense that it's hitting an older audience, because I am older.
So with music, knowing what you know now, just reflecting on, you seem as though you've released entire albums of songs, song after song. What advice would you give to an artist, let's say, that's only produced maybe two songs, maybe three songs, or they've only released those songs?
Everybody's work rate is different. I don't want anybody thinking they have to do a song every week just because I do. You look at the Justin Bieber method, he got lucky overnight. It's different for everybody. Doing a song every week works for me, and I have the capability to do that. That might not work for everybody else. Just go at your own pace and do what you can. I'm just here saying what works for me. And if you can or want to try my method, by all means, go ahead. But if you care, then do you for now.
Yes. No, I love that. You're saying that do whatever you can do. So if you don't have the resources, you don't have the time to release a song every week, then just get into the craft whenever you can. Mm. Are you somebody who writes on a daily basis? Do you do songwriting every day? Do you make do you plan out a schedule and say, I'm going to work on music from this 9 o'clock to, let's say, 12 o'clock, and that's going to be the time I block off for my music? Or is it just spontaneous whenever it comes?
I'm also lucky in a sense that my regular job, I'm allowed to wear headphones and listen to whatever kind of music I want. Oftentimes, while I'm actually working, I'm listening to beats and writing in my head. And then when I go on my break, I'll open the notepad on my phone. I'll write for my 30-minute break and go back to work. And then I'll wake up the next day and record. That's how I do it. Maybe not every single day, but 90% of the time.
And you say for most of your songs, you go into a studio to record them. Do you ever have a home studio, or do you record songs in your home ever?
Oh, that's what I meant. I go into my home studio.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry.
So it's fine. Can you talk us through how your home studio is set up and how you went about creating that?
I have the cheapest studio anyone will ever find. And people tell me that I sound like I'm recording in a studio that I'm paying for. I've got a cheap USB mic, I got decent headphones, and I have an out-of-date recording system that most people don't even know what it is anymore. I record on a DAW called Cool Edit. A lot of people don't know what Cool Edit is. It was bought out by Adobe in the early 2000s, but it works just as good.
Wow. Yes, I know. Now that we have so many resources available to us, we can really create an in-home studio for under $200 even, just with a good microphone. Maybe you have pop filter, maybe you have just a couple of, you don't even have to have the noise, the panels that you put on the walls that are supposed to absorb noise. You don't even need those. You can just have one of those, what is it? One of those that go around the microphone?
Like a pop screen?
Yeah, like a pop screen, but it's like a sound absorption panel. It's like a cubicle.
I know what you mean.
Put around. Yeah, and then you can just sing into that. So that's amazing. And even with the digital audio softwares, you were saying Kool-Aid, but I know one called Cakewalk. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have heard of it, yeah. Yes. I use Cool Edit is what I use.
Cool Edit, yes. Yeah. And there's also like Cakewalk, even just for recording vocals, there's Audacity. Have you heard of that as well?
I have. I knew a guy that used GarageBand also.
Yes, GarageBand. So it's wonderful that you don't need that much money, that many resources to just start recording songs.
I'm not going to lie to you. I probably have like a $50 studio. I have probably a $30 microphone that's 10 years old. I got a deal on my headphones because they were open in the box in the store.
Yes.
And I have an old program that I don't even think is sold anymore.
Yeah. No, it's amazing what you can do just going around, shopping around. Even I know if you can go into some secondhand stores and then look at the tech section, then you can get, you know, some cool keyboards maybe and things that you can create music with. Do you play, you said that you were in a band. What instruments do you play?
I've been known to create a song out of any instrument somebody hands me. Even if it's just like a 10-second jingle, I will make you something. But when I was in a band, I played electric guitar.
Yes. And so with electric guitar, because you now sing vocals, did you ever do any vocal training or did you have that good foundation trained ear?
I guess it was more of a trained ear. I did learn one technique from some heavy metal vocalists that eventually ended up working for me. Some people it hurts their throat, but I'll tell you what it is. So the band's Lamb of God and Arch Enemy, I don't know if you listen to metal, it's from what I was told is they do something called inhale screaming. They scream while breathing in. And I started doing that and it hurt real bad at first. It hurt my throat. Then eventually I got used to it and I could tell that I was starting to sound a little more like them. So now whenever I do metal screams, or sometimes even when I sing, because I do that also, I do it while inhaling, not exhaling, which some people think is weird, but it works for me.
Are you the type of person who ever goes with a keyboard and does scales, or do you just do freestyle singing?
It depends on my mood.
Yeah. And for, because you're also a singer, do you ever do 30 minutes of singing a day and just work on scales, pitch matching, technique, or do you focus more on the evoking emotion with your vocals?
I'll sing to other songs that I think that I'm going to sing at, a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. I'll sing along with that to try to warm my voice up.
Yeah, I love that. Just seeing what works, because music is one of those things, especially when it comes to vocal techniques, singing. It's just connecting with your body and being in that relaxed state.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, I just want to wrap up this episode. Are there any places where people can go and listen to your music? What's your Spotify artist account? And do you have a website or any other links you want to mention?
I have an Instagram. It's at Lentil Official. Lentil is my artist name. I'm on almost every streaming platform you can think of. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. Most of my listeners are on Amazon Music. I don't know how the algorithm works, but that's where most of them are. But you can find me on any streaming platform. I'm working with Delusional Music. They're an indie label based out of South Carolina. I know the label itself has a Facebook page. I'm not exactly sure what the link is off the top of my head, but you could probably type it in your search and find it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on here. And I just want to shout out to everyone who's listening to this podcast episode. If you like this episode and you want more episodes like this, then please do share it with a friend or family member. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Can I just say, I really like it real quick?